Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 352. It's a Bloom Board Tuesday, everybody. We're going to talk about some ratio risers and fallers across starting pitching and fantasy baseball. Bet you there's going to be some names that get us all really excited for this one because they'll probably hit us all pretty deep throughout our fantasy teams. We'll talk some recent news and, you know, our normal who, banter, all that fun stuff. But first off, you can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How you doing, my friend?
We are good for a Tuesday night. It was a good day of baseball. We had Nolan Flaherty shove. We had Goldschmidt and Freddie Freeman homer. It's right up my alley, man.
We've got Shane Boz third straight star. Let's not forget about that. Gage Jump was jumping around. Yeah, it was good stuff.
First one to use that pun, I'm sure.
How's everything else going? I'll wear it out.
Everything else is just groovy. Fangraphs is down as we record, but you know, as everyone knows, it's all good. I've got it all up here in between the ears, so we'll be ready to go tonight.
Yep, Ryan will have his analysis of prospects he's never heard of, like you've never heard before. It'll be great. But before we get to the news, we haven't done this all year, and we used to do it at the beginning of each month. So we are starting June. So we're, 2 months into the year now? 2.5 more? Yep. I don't know. We started late March. 2 months. Yep. So we're going to give a little update on the Listener Leagues. It's part of the deal. You join the league, we talk about you on the show. That's the way the world works. But Ryan, every Monday on the Patreon, writes a little blurb with some updated standings, the risers and fallers, I guess, for the week is the best way I can describe it. Let everybody know what you do with that, and how are the leagues looking?
Yeah, I know, you know, probably majority of listeners here don't care, and you can skip a couple minutes if you want, but we do want to give a shout. I mean, the Listener Leagues were they've been such a success the last few years. Like, everyone really getting into it. It's almost kind of like a big home league. So I every Monday for the Patreon, I shout out pretty much the top three overall, top three of the last week. And then at some point, the NFBC, Bubba, I posted this in Discord. I don't know if you saw this, yep, but
I saw that.
We've now got our own fab results for Bubba and the Bloom Listener Leagues across our 10 leagues. So I'm going to start folding that into the Monday thing so that, you know, anyone in the Listener League can see where their bids fell amongst the other Listener Leaguers. I think that's kind of cool. So I want to give everyone a shout that, you know, every Monday, but also fair to do a monthly thing on air to get you all your proper due. Do we want to run through just overall top 15? Do we want to talk about where we're at? How you want to do this?
Top 15, then we can talk about where we're at after that. So I'll let you start with the top five.
Are you in the top 15?
I'm at 21st right now.
Oh, man. That's no good.
Slow fall, but I'm still winning my league, so that's great.
What's wrong with you, man? 21st.
Do we want to just jump to where you are? Or?
I am...
I see you. You're 21st.
41st out of 150s. I'll take that the way the season's going. So we're at 21 and 41, respectable for sure. Given that I know in my league everyone knew exactly who I wanted, yes, and pissed me off to no end. All right, top five. As this stands, Tuesday, June 2nd, we've got Alfred Perez at It'sFred08 in the Discord is our overall leader. He's been up there. This is the second time I believe Fred has been in first. So shout out to Fred. Number two, John Wilder, the biggest S talker in YouTube comments that we have. We love John. He is in second. He's had an excellent season. He's been up there the entire time. And as much as it pains me to write about him every other Monday, it seems, I do that. So, John, great job. Our good buddy Steve Brunn, who's hoping to make it out to FPAS this year, is in third. And I should mention, the overall winner does get a free registration to First Pitch Arizona, courtesy of our friends at Baseball HQ. So Steve Brunn is third. Michelle Smith is number four. She's been up there the whole time. I met Michelle in Vegas, and her sister Marsha drafted next to her in the Vegas auction. Michelle's doing great. And then Ryan Ireland rounds out our top five. Ryan's been up there a couple times in previous years before, too. So Ryan Ireland, great job, man. Number five.
Yep, and it keeps the hits keep coming. His number six is Gregory Hendel, and I you guys know I'm going to butcher names. That's just
that's Waddell. Six is Waddell.
No, I have seven as Brandon Waddell.
Oh, it's moving as we speak. Do you know who Gregory Hendel is?
The name sounds insanely familiar, and I probably should know who he is. Yes,
that is none other than Canton Dog.
Oh, it's Kent. You almost did it. I'm proud of you right there. I'm proud of you.
Terrible. No, that was bad, but.
Canton Dog. That's awesome. Canton Dog. You got to change the name, buddy. Not just the fit meme.
That's right.
Canton Dog.
Hopefully we didn't like out. Hopefully we're not. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Hey, it's out there
you
now.
You signed up for this. It's all fair game. Brandon Waddell is seven. Wadizi is coming in seven. He's having a good year across a lot of his leagues as well. James Boyles, Bowles, who's in the chat a lot with us, he's eight. He's having a good year. David Boyce at nine. And then Eric Leggett, the Mr. Big Screen himself, at number 10. Yep. So a lot of familiar faces there as well.
All right, 11 through 15. Timothy Tam comes in at 11. James Oss, who's active in the Discord, number 12. Larry Kornick, one of my longtime fantasy buddies.
Goodness gracious.
That's another one of your
Bubba Shakur.
That's Bubba Shakur.
That's Bubba Shakur.
Which I confirmed with Larry in Vegas. It's actually Bubba Shucker is the proper pronunciation.
No, it's not.
But we are now going with he is Tupac's brother.
Yeah, he's related. He's on the same island as Tupac.
Bubba Shakur. And then we've got Michael Tolofsen, who hung out with us at First Pitch Arizona. Michael Taylor. And then technically he's in 16th on my sheet, but I want to give a shout out to TDK, who has been in first, was in first for, I think, 2 to 3 weeks in May, dropping down a little bit, but wanted to give him his dues because TDK is the man coming in at number 16 to round us out.
Yeah, you pulled up your page like 10 minutes after me, and somehow it shifted a lot because I have an 11 Timothy Tam, 12th James Oss, 13th Michael Taylor, 14th TDK, 15th Tolofsen, 16th is Bubba Shakur. So yeah, lots of moving and shaking there, which is pretty cool. I have at 18, I have Mr. The Kid himself, Ben Tidd.
I've got him at 18 too. What overall is Tidd not a part
hanging
of
out in? He's always in the mix somewhere because the guy's just a monster. And special situation. But yeah, there I am at 21, Ryan. I dropped two spots today. There was at one point in time, I think I was first overall, and I was hanging around sixth for a while. I've dropped to 21st in the last couple of weeks, but leading my league, it's been a good season overall, I'd say. Pitching starting to dwindle as it has for most people.
Yeah, you were somewhat insufferable for the 10 minutes that you were leading the overall, but we'll take that. I'm in sixth in my league, 41st. Michelle Smith is running away with it. With the fourth overall, but hey, you never know.
You never know. That is very, very true. And then, as usual, I just want to give a shout to our good buddy, the Raj Bloomfield.
Oh no!
Who is?
Do you know what place he's in?
He's at 144 out of 150.
It hasn't been good for Raj.
Yeah, I had to throw it out to him because that was the battle last year, was you versus Raj for a while there. So
not as much this year.
But there's a lot of really good players hanging out by him too. It's just the way the cricket crumbles sometimes. So
Yep.
Yeah. Not the end of the world, I guess. But yeah, just wanted to give a shout out to our listener leagues. We're gonna try to do that at least once a month to kind of remind everybody where they're going. And when I'm at the top next month, Ryan, I'll have to say it live on air, and it'll be a lot of fun. So it'll be well worth it.
Sure. Get that free FPAS for you, Bubba.
Yep. I need it. I need that. I need the free membership to base. If you win your league, you get a free membership to Baseball HQ. You need that one too.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yep. A lot of cool stuff there. All right. Let's get to some news and notes before we talk about a pretty sweet Bloom board today. Just the big news and notes. There's been a lot the last few days, but Ellie De La Cruz is headed to the IL with a hamstring strain. They're going to reevaluate him in 2 weeks. So they said it's between a grade one and a grade two. Grade two usually is at least 4 to 6 weeks. Grades one's usually 1 to 2, 3 weeks. So I'm saying it's at least a month for Ellie De La Cruz, Ryan, and we'll find out more in a couple of weeks. But this is a big blow, and got to hold him, but it's a big blow.
Sure, got to hold him a month out, and then you're like another week from the All-Star break. So you wonder if that even, you know, if there's any kind of setback, what happens there. And out of the blue, crappy. Ellie was doing quite well this season. I think the biggest thing fantasy-wise is the call-up of one Edwin Arroyo, who has played second base against a lefty and a righty. His first two games up, called up from AAA, made his debut on Monday with Matt McClain sliding over to shortstop. Edwin Arroyo is definitely a fab target this weekend, at least based on prospect pedigree, and let's see how he does this week. But pretty much mashed at AAA, 143 WRC plus, 11 homers, 9 steals, 250 plate appearances, hit .323. So you like that, and I think the playing time is going to be there. If Edwin Arroyo like takes off, and who knows, you know, how it's going to go, like this could indirectly be the end of Matt McClain, because Matt McClain's been pretty rough once Ellie comes back.
Yep, seems like McClain was on the way out. This injury kind of prolonged the inevitable, is what it feels like. Edwin Arroyo, people are shouting to have him get called up just to take McClain's spot for a while there. Right. So if Arroyo can swing it, you're right, that could be the end in sight for him. Oh, weird one that dropped on Tuesday, Ryan. Aaron Judge was out of the Yankees lineup on Tuesday with a shoulder injury that came out later. It was a bone bruise on his shoulder. Then a report came out that said they don't know how long he's going to be out, what to do, because it's a weird injury. And then after the game on Tuesday, it's been a lot going on about this story. At the end of the game on Tuesday, the Yankees said that Aaron Judge is going to see a specialist on Wednesday for his shoulder. Whenever I hear a player needs to see a specialist, Ryan, I do not feel great about that at all.
Yeah, especially when it's first cast off as just a bruise, right? And then it just progressively gets worse, like honestly throughout the day today on Tuesday. Yeah. Like each update was getting worse. So obviously we will monitor that one. I guess Jose Caballero started right field tonight. This is the benefit of having someone who can play every single position. Like almost literally Jose Caballero, the last four starts that he's made, has been at four different positions: right field, third base, shortstop, left field. It was a lefty tonight, so let's see what happens against right-handed pitching. But Jose Caballero could continue to play every day in Judge's absence. I don't know. Is Stanton alive?
Stanton is set to take some live batting practice this week, which is a step in the right direction for him with his injury. Jason Dominguez is actually hitting off a tee and supposed to progress to live batting practice as well. So both of them are working their way back. I think Spencer Jones is still keeping the Midwest nice and air conditioned at the moment, but maybe he gets a call. I don't know. They're going to have to make a decision somewhere, because yeah, you can play Caballero out there. It's not a problem, but in a perfect world, you'd like to keep Caballero roaming around all over the infield if you could, to give breaks to people. But to your point, just to echo the Caballero sentiment, I remember during draft season, I was like, I don't want Caballero, this and that. And everyone kept saying, he's got the job for now and he can play everywhere else. Just see what happens. And sure enough, like continues to play everywhere, which has become quite valuable with Caballero, and lesson to be learned from, at least for this bald man over here, to keep an eye on that one. So,
yeah, similar theme to what we talk about with six starters, is always injury in the rotation. If someone can play six different positions, there's always an injury somewhere amongst those six throughout the season.
Exactly. All right. San Diego Padres, Ramon Laureano hit the IL with a hip injury on Tuesday. Prospect Jace Bowen was promoted from AAA and got the start on Tuesday evening. He's expected to take Laureano's spot. There's no timetable for Laureano to return. Bowen was hitting .292, 13 homers, 7 steals at AAA this year, Ryan. What are your thoughts on this one? Because I think he's like the fourth-ranked prospect in the Padres system. And to be fair, they seem to trade all of their prospects. It's hard to tell where he would really rank. But he's playing well.
He's playing well. I always, and I'll admit, I don't know much about Jace Bowen. I'm scouting the stat line here, but it is a 25-year-old at AAA, so a little bit older. 27% strikeout rate and a 15% swinging strike for Jace Bowen. That's always where I look first thing when someone gets called up, is like, what do the play skills look like against AAA pitching? That many whiffs, that many strikeouts. Like, I mean, we just talked about Spencer Jones. This was my issue with him. I'm not that interested in Jace Bowen. I just that many whiffs, that many Ks against AAA pitching. How does that translate in the big leagues?
Yep, I don't disagree with you there. It's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. There is power. He had 20 steals in the minors last year, so there's a lot to like in that regard. It's just you got to get on base for that stuff to happen. We've talked about that with a ton of players throughout time, and more often than not, that pans out.
And all right, Bowen will play more than Castellanos, you think?
I would think so. At least on the strong side platoon, worse. But
yeah. Casty's, oh man, he's gone down. I'm just looking at his numbers. 28% K rate, hitting 191, four homers. Not great.
He should be Casty off the island, is where he should be. But yeah, we know how the Padres like to keep their standard lineups. I think if they want Bowen to play, he's probably gonna stick for a while, is what it feels like. So
yeah,
time will tell. All right. Luis Severino, he landed on the IL with a shoulder injury. Results from his imaging came back. This is a good one. I had to type it out so I would get it right. He has a strain of the shoulder capsule and subcapulars muscles. So strains in both. Laureano is going to be reevaluated in 4 to 6 weeks. So that probably means he's out for at least 3 months, like pretty much most of the season. So that was a topic that Ben and I talked about. Severino was a heavy drop this past week in most formats. So I just want to echo, you can drop Luis Severino if you're waiting type thing.
Yes.
The more important factor here, Ryan, and then I'll pass it off to you because these will be a bunch of names. You have no idea who they are.
I'm looking them up as you type.
Yeah. Gage Jump. We know who he is. He jumped around all over Wrigley Field on Tuesday night. That was beautiful. Yes. He got the call when Severino first went down. Jump looked great. That just stabilizes him in the rotation even more so for me. But they called up Cade Morris and Mason Barnett, from AAA on Tuesday. Both of them. Both of them have been starters in the minors. Both of them been decent. Nothing special. But right now, the A's need rotation help because Jacob Lopez is in AAA. Right, currently, it's Springs, JT Jen, and Gage Jump in the rotation. There's a lot of moving parts to keep an eye on this week, is what I would say.
Yeah, and at least skills-wise, I don't like Morris. 9% strikeout minus walk in 60 innings at AAA this season. And Barnett, I don't think was much better. He was 8% with a 9% swinging strike and a ball rate above 40. So definitely not Barnett. And probably not this other dude, Cade Morris either. So it's going to get, especially when you factor in the home park, man, that's going to be fireworks. This is a rotation to stream against, even when the vaunted Aaron Saivaldi comes back as well.
Yeah, and there's no time frame on him just yet either. So it's a rough go. I think Saivaldi probably out for a month, it feels like. So, yeah, the A's are going to be in a lot of trouble because also these young guys, how many innings are you getting? That's still a long list of problems in Sacramento. Last bit of news here, Bailey Ober, who people are starting to buy back into, got roughed up in his last start and went on the IL with a right flexor strain. He's going to be shut down for 10 to 14 days before being reevaluated. They're going to do new imaging, kind of like the Elly De La Cruz hamstring situation. So we're probably talking month and a half, 2 months at best for Ober, maybe longer in this situation. This basically keeps Zebby Matthews around, even though he's been rough
for better or worse.
I will say Kendry Rojas is starting a throwing program, so he's not gonna be on the IL for long. He's got good news. Mick Abel starting to throw bullpens. David Festus throwing bullpens. There's still a way is the problem, and there's not a lot to like at the minors unless they call up CJ Culpepper.
And yeah, Fangraphs is showing Marco Raya as the probable this week.
That's a bullpen game then.
Yeah, 31 innings in AAA. Yeah, I'm not even going to read the rest of the stats. Doesn't look good. So I don't know. I think Mick Abel's probably our best bet at some point whenever he comes back. But going to be a ways. And yes, we get more Zebby Matthews, so I get to get another start of 6 or 7 earned runs on my Vegas auction team. So that'll be fantastic. Can't wait.
And with that excitement, let's head to Bloom Board time. Bloom Board Tuesday, Ryan. Why don't you show everybody what we're working with tonight? And let's talk about more pitchers that have disappointed us for the most part.
Yeah, we're going to switch it over here. Apologies. Usually I have this ready to go, but here we go. All right. So Bloom Board, continuing our theme from last week, is, again, we're about 2 months into the season. Now we're a little bit more than 2 months into the season. Just want to look at the surface level stats. Who are the biggest risers and fallers? Last week we did hitters based on 5x5 value for the Fangraphs player rater. Was going to do that with pitchers too, but a lot of the dollar values get thrown off with relievers and middle inning type guys. So just looked at the high the ratio risers and fallers, ERA and WHIP. Got the top 10 from March and April versus May and June that we'll talk through, and then the bottom 10 as well. So the wins and strikeouts will be, and actually it paints some nice context over just the ratios, so that those aren't included in the, you know, the risers and fallers, just ERA and WHIP, but still a pretty good list here. Had to have 30 innings, at least 30 innings in each time frame, in each month essentially, to qualify for the list. So yeah, got 20 names, 20 interesting ones. It's wild how much performance can change over over 1 month of the season.
Yeah, a lot can change, and some of these guys are just fine. Like Christopher Sanchez leads the way, but I don't think there's a whole lot to say about Christopher Sanchez, who 2.90 ERA, 1.51 WHIP, has gone to a .00 ERA for keeping track at home. It's because he has not allowed a run over his last 39 plus innings. He's going for the Scherzer, Oral Hershiser record, which I remember very clearly when he was with the Dodgers. 0.72 WHIP is the more impressive thing to me because he's the ground ball pitcher. That's why he had that 1.51 WHIP in the first month of the year. Like, he can get BABIPped from time to time, but he's been filthy. I don't have a whole lot to add to him. It's just been domination is what it's been.
It's pretty wild when you're the highest riser from basically May to April, and your April was a 2.90 ERA. Granted, Christopher Sanchez had a 1.51 WHIP in March and April, so like that wasn't great, but that was all also very much a BABIP spike there. So big thing is for me, the Ks are still there for Christopher Sanchez. He spiked the K rate in 2025, and he's been able to hold that even more in 2026. He is my SP1. I think we talked about that last week when he was our SP4 heading into the season behind Skubal, Skeens, and Crochet, and now is SP1, in my opinion.
You still take him over Skeens?
I would.
Okay. Not opposed to that. I'm just curious because people treat Skeens like a workhorse, which he seems to be until he's not. But like Sanchez, there's always that little minor thing in the back of my head that we thought his arm was falling off last year.
That forearm strain, right? He missed. Yeah. Like, I don't even know if he missed a start. He left.
I feel like he missed a start, but he might not have. It was ridiculous how that turned out. Yeah. All right, now things get interesting. Andrew Abbott, he had 34 2/3 in March, April, 5.97 ERA, 1.67 WHIP. We're all going, see, I told you so. Like, here it is. This is the guy that all of 2025 was fooling people. Well, in May, he's back. Over 28 innings pitched, 1.29 ERA, 1.11 WHIP, only 18 strikeouts, which you like to see a little more, but it's just not his game with Andrew Abbott. But been quite effective. I can't knock it. And the weirdest part, the frustrating part we talk about a lot with Andrew Abbott, is the fly ball rate was still above 50% over the last month, which is crazy, Ryan. So what's your thoughts with Abbott? I still don't trust him, but he went out on Tuesday night, tonight. 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 4 walks, 5 Ks in Great American Small Park. So it's just an always frustrating situation facing Andrew Abbott.
Yeah, and you know why I don't like Walbert Urania? That's the Walbert Urania line, 4 walks.
But a better ballpark to pitch is the difference.
That's true. But yeah, the walks and the fly ball. You mentioned the fly ball over the last month for Abbott. Yeah, over 50% in that park. Granted, not all of his starts have occurred at Great American Small Park. I don't believe this for 1 second. And that's the thing. I've always missed out on Andrew Abbott, and if I miss out on a good stretch, that's totally fine. Bubba, it's been a 5% strikeout minus walk for Andrew Abbott over the last month. Like, it's terrible. You mentioned the 18 strikeouts. How do you have 18 strikeouts over 5 or 6 starts? Yep. And have a 1.29 ERA with that many fly balls. Like, he's just running pure from the home run side. And granted, in the past, Andrew Abbott has been a big infield fly ball guy. Has not been the case as much this year. He's not even on the leaderboard for infield fly ball rate for at least the top 30. If I go 30 to 60, he is number 47 in baseball right now in infield fly ball rate. Andrew Abbott had traditionally been like a top 10 guy. And maybe you're thinking that's a skill. He can repeat that. Even that hasn't been the case this year. So running very pure with the fly ball luck, Andrew Abbott is. Which version do you trust more, the March-April version or May-June? The March-April was a 5.97 ERA. It's somewhere in between, but I lean the prior.
Yeah, I lean the prior as well. And it's just one of those things is we did the whole projections meets reality Bloom Board a couple weeks ago.
It's a good title. I like that.
With pitchers, just because it's so hard for like rest of the season projections to keep up when you're like, we're looking at this, for instance, just this board alone shows how different they can be in month to month. So yeah, we're trying to look at projections and it's crazy. It's with pitchers and like rest of the season projections, they have him like the Bad X has him at a 502, Oopsie 491, Steamer 47. So ATC has him at 43. So it's in the middle, like you said, but some believe he's closer to actually the May situation, which I would lean to as well.
No, I'm jumping away, yes, from Abbott.
You should gauge jump instead of that. Just like Christopher Sanchez, the Miz, I have nothing to add besides I don't want to say negative things, but I'm terrified is all I'm going to say. He's so, so good, but I'm terrified when he throws half of his pitches now every start.
The velocity and the beam pull.
From everything we've seen in recent years, like none of this bodes well for a long-term situation.
I know, but we say that and...
Oh, I'm rooting for him to...
Greg Skubal gets hurt. Garrett Crochet gets hurt. Like, and we're already 71 innings in, and it doesn't look like the Miz is stopping. Like, if he goes another 2 months before he breaks, like, you got what you got more than enough out of it. The biggest thing for me with Jacob Mizrowski, I think we had a listener question on this or listener comment, the walk rate. I mean, the big two reasons why I was out on Mizrowski, and I think the market was too, was yes, the like velocity and workload and all that stuff. But for me, it was the walk rate too. Like the way the Miz was handled last season, like he didn't pitch that deep into games. He kind of had this like almost kind of bulk roll by the end of the season, which is probably just preserving his innings, but he couldn't really get deep into games because he wasn't throwing strikes. It was 11% walk rate last year for the Miz. And he's cut that down to 6% this year with the K going from 31 to 39. Like that is damn impressive. And maybe shame on me for not thinking, you know, a 24-year-old could improve like that. Cause the ball rate was actually pretty good for Mizrowski last year. So maybe that's the miss on my end, but the improvement in walk rate for Mizrowski to me has been the biggest kind of surprise.
And the bright side is when he makes it to the All-Star team this year, no one's going to complain about it. So that's a beauty as well. He's well deserving of it.
Correct.
All right. This is one I'm struggling with as well. And it's Michael Soroka. The first month of the year, 30 and two thirds innings, 4.7 ERA, 1.43 whip. He had 36 Ks though in the 30 and two thirds plus. In the last month, 30 innings, 1.78 ERA, 0.96 whip, 24 Ks. So the Ks have gone down. The ratios have followed in this situation. Soroka gave up 4 runs on Tuesday night against the Dodgers. Again, it's the Dodgers. We let those kind of things slide a little bit. But the skills have drastically dropped. It feels like, hey, the skills that we like to look at, Ryan, is what I should say, have dropped a bit in the last month. What are your thoughts on Mike Soroka? Because this is one of those where last year we loved Mike Soroka, that he got hurt. He used to be a reliever, get thrown in the rotation. Like, there's so many questions on how long can he continue to start, essentially, is where I'm going with this. And is he wearing down is a potential question I have. So he's not like peppering the zone. Now he's trying to get outs to get through innings, if that makes sense at all.
Yeah, it does make it makes at least a little bit of sense. So I'll give you.
That's a start for me. Because I can filibuster this whole thing until someone agrees with me.
The interesting thing is Soroka's 7 wins so far this season. Again, that's in the bank, but 11 starts, 7 wins with a 3.25 ERA on the season. The K's have disappeared over the last month, 20% strikeout rate for Soroka. You don't like to see that, like kind of a league average whiff rate. So the biggest thing is the control has gotten a lot better for Soroka this season, even the last month, 4% walk rate. And again, when I see improvement in control, what metric do I like to look at? Ball percentage. And it's 31% for Mike Soroka. That is awesome. League average ball rate is 36-ish percent. If you're in the low 30s, you are cruising. So I don't know. I don't think Soroka certainly isn't as good as he's been over the last month. I don't think Soroka was as bad as he showed in March. I think he, you know, he doesn't get hit around that much. He's got good control. Feel like he's someone in a 15 you just roll with kind of continually. I think he's above streaming status, maybe a high end streamer in a 12 teamer.
Yeah, no, definitely a streamer in 12s locked into 15s. I think there is stuff to like there. I just get concerned that the wear and tear is eventually going to catch up, and the return back to more the March April performance is going to sting.
And like you said, he gave up four to the Dodgers. Schedule's brutal right now for Soroka. He had the Dodgers tonight. Next week's the Nationals. Next start's the Nationals, who again lead the majors in runs scored, which is nuts. And then the next start is at Great American Small Park. So
it's not great.
That's not great.
Yeah, just off the top of my head, I think two of his starts in May were against the Giants. So that'll help anybody's team if that works for you. We faced the D-backs quite a bit.
Sure. Well, how painful was watching Kyle Harrison tonight?
Oh, I commented on that like a week or two ago when he was dealing again. I'm like, man, he looked really good in the Giants uniform. He really would. It'd be crazy to have a guy like that come through your farm system and become a pitcher in your team. It'd be just great, but that didn't happen.
Strike out 12 against the team who traded him.
Yeah. The bright side is they got Rafael Devers out of it. Unlike the Red Sox, who traded him to the Brewers for Caleb Durbin. So bright side is at least we had the better of the two trades. For
at least you're the second worst trade.
Yeah, the Red Sox got against the sloppy seconds in the trade department. It wasn't what you were going for. So
anything that helps you sleep better at night.
Hey, I've already like given into the fact the Giants, we're going to be just happy if we can somehow be better than the Angels and the Rockies, which has been some of the worst baseball to watch the last two nights, like just horrific television. I wouldn't want my T-ball teams watching that product on the field. It's bad. All right. Chase Burns, similar to the Miz and Sanchez, I don't have a lot to say. Burns is an electric factory. We know that. Command can be wonky from time to time, but he's really honed it in. 1.12 whip in the first month, 0.79 in the second month. Strikeouts have been ridiculous, as expected. I don't have much to say on Chase Burns either.
A big miss for me. Big miss for me. And there's another youth on here, I thought. Oh, maybe not. He's not on here, but Cam Schlittler is the other one. I know he struggled tonight, but it's just interesting seeing Jacob Mizorowski, Chase Burns, Cam Schlittler, all those three guys who were going, seventh, eighth round and 15-teamer, yep. Something like that, who I know I pretty much all avoided. I got some Schlittler. That has proven to not be the move. Concerns about workload, command. Again, we're only 2 months into the season, but it is quite interesting. I think that's quite a storyline of these first 2 months is these young guys just – getting better and kind of blowing away the league right now.
Yep, it's been darn impressive. But let's talk about an old guy, an old friend of mine that I finally gave up on this year, and he decides he wants to pitch. That's E-Rod, Eduardo Rodriguez. In the first month of the year, he threw 32 and two-thirds innings, 3.03 ERA, 1.41 whip. That's my guy, 1.41 whip. He lives in that world with 22 Ks. So it's kind of like an average, like whatever, it's E-Rod. But the last month, he's been outstanding. 39 innings pitched, 1.59 ERA, 1.01 whip, which I don't think he even knows how to pronounce. 30 strikeouts for E-Rod. And what's really impressive, it's been six straight starts. Even one of them is in Coors. One was against the Dodgers as well. So we can't just like sugarcoat it all. And the Coors start was technically his worst of the six. Three earned runs or less. He's get you four or more Ks. The walks have been what they are, but only one home run over those six starts, which has been huge. The first month of the year, he gave up like 24 home runs. So he has improved in a drastic way. I do not think he's this good. I'm not in denial, but he's showcasing the stuff that's got him to the dance before, and it makes him a streamer until the wheels fall off, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the schedule is playing a part here. You mentioned the Dodgers start, so we do give him credit for that. Though we just had three Ks against the Dodgers, like that wasn't great. But outside of that one, it was at your Giants, it was Road Rockies, it was at Coors, it was against the Mets in early May, which they were when they were terrible, and then against the Pirates. So like pretty easy schedule for E-Rod. And Erod's next three games, similar to, they must be on the same team, right? Yes.
Soroka,
similar to Soroka.
Yes. Yes, it's, they're on the Diamondbacks.
Well, yeah. No, I'm just looking at their opponents, and I'm like, I just mentioned these same opponents. Yeah. It's the Dodgers, Nationals, and Reds for Erod. And those guys, those teams all mash lefties. So I am not, like, I don't even know if I'm starting Erod for this next stretch. Like, let's see how he does against the Dodgers, I guess. But I'm not buying this at all, to be honest.
Would you buy this or Abbott?
I would rather Abbott than Erod.
I'd rather Erod than Abbott. I'll take that.
I'm not beer betting that. Like, at all.
Do you want a Game of Thrones bet?
I don't know what that means either.
Or if you lose, you have to watch.
That's right. If I have to watch Game of Thrones. Well, what do you have to do?
I'll learn whatever X minus 12.37 of your coding system is. I don't know.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you have to learn Python. That's right. Yeah. We talked about that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be one of our bets one of these days. It won't just be the beer bets. It's going to actually put some real skin on the game here for this one. Yeah. All right. Your boy, Nate the Great, Eovaldi. It's been a good season, but it's been up and down. There's no hiding that. First month of the year, 39 and two-thirds innings, 4.76 ERA, 1.34 whip, 39K. So the strikeouts were there. Ratios were definitely not ideal. Over the last month, though, 29 innings pitching, missed a start, of course. 2.79 ERA, 0.79 whip, 28Ks, looking like the Eovaldi of old. Yeah, it struggled a bit on Tuesday, but overall not bad. What's your thoughts? Are we back? Is this the normal Eovaldi train? This is your guy.
We're back. He actually never left. We talked about Eovaldi.
Skills were always great.
I don't know.
His skills were great.
They were. Yeah. And they were good through March and April, and they're even better through May and June. But on the season, 15% swing strike, 18% strikeout minus walk for Eovaldi. Like, I could go on and on. Ton of ground balls, 50% ground ball rate. It all looks fine to me. Yeah, I gave up, I think, 4 runs tonight. Like you said, it kind of got, you know, I'll always make excuses for my guy, but kind of got left out in the 7th there a little bit. Gave up 2 runs and got chased. So that kind of sucked. Lost the win. But I think Nate Eovaldi is going to be just fine. You know, the another injury is coming, right? It's just part of the deal with Nate Eovaldi at this point. But I think he's a beast. I think we will get more of the recent form of Nate Eovaldi going forward.
Yep, I have zero concerns with Nate the Great. I don't have many concerns about Braxton Ashcraft either, everybody. 34 innings pitched, 3.71 ERA, 1.15 whip in March and April, which I would just take that the rest of the season. Totally cool with those numbers. He crushed it in May, 40 innings, .99 ERA, 0.93 whip with 42 Ks. If you go deeper on the year, he's got a 21% K to walk, 14% swinging strike with a 46% ground ball rate. The guy's as advertised, Ryan.
Absolutely, as advertised. I have a ton of Ashcraft. You've got some Ashcraft, I know, perhaps a ton as well.
Yeah,
one of our best picks so far this season. And to me, it looks quite legit. A K minus walk over 20%. That is elite. An elite ball rate. An elite swinging strike. Excellent velocity. Pitching deeper into games than he was last year. That was my kind of one concern with Ashcraft, was he didn't really go deep last year. His last 6 starts, each of the last 6, Ashcraft's gone more than 6 innings and has 5 wins on the season. So he looks awesome. You know, obviously probably there's some fallback here, but he's 26 years old. You never know. Like, he could keep this up.
Yep, he's going just fine. If Jared Jones wants to do the same thing, that'd be really cool. They're on the same team, by the way, Ryan.
Yes. And on a lot of our teams.
Yes. We need to make that happen. Joe Ryan, I'm loving what I'm seeing from him. I was never really worried, besides the potential injury scare that we got, that we thought his shoulder was going to fall off. And he came back. He had a 3.76 ERA and a 1.04 whip in the first month. He had the scare. He's had a 2.53 ERA and a 0.88 whip with 40 Ks and 32 innings pitched. Yeah, Joe Ryan's doing it again. As long as he's on the field, he's still been one of the best pitchers in all of baseball.
And this was just bizarre, because this turnaround did happen around the time where he thought his shoulder fell off. Like, I'll take it. because I like Joe Ryan. Did not expect this. Joe Ryan, he's really good. You don't need me to say that.
Yeah, no, he's like, as long as he's paid, it's kind of like Eovaldi. Like, we know there's going to be injury scares with these guys. As long as they're in the rotation every fifth day, just trust them to go. Like, that's all you got to do. Same with Chris Sale. I don't have much to add here. He went from 231.91 to 169.97. That's elite stuff.
Elite stuff. Chalk another one up for the olds. He's up there, but and it's interesting, like the pitchers around Chris Sale, you know, ADP wise were Hunter Brown, Logan Gilbert. Right behind him was Max Fried, Logan Webb, Cole Reagans. Chris Sale has been as advertised, if not better than advertised.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite buys of my OLAC when I got him for like $22 or $23 or whatever it was. I'm like, oh man, that was glorious. It's amazing when you're not streaming a draft with people that know all your picks. It's a really cool situation to take advantage of. All right, let's talk fallers now, because this list gets real interesting now. Reed Detmers, he had a 4.28 ERA and a 1.1 WHIP in the first month of the year, over 33 and two thirds with 36 Ks. So in reality, you're like, yeah, okay, that's Reed Detmers. We roll. The last month of the year, 34 innings, 4.98 ERA, 1.25 WHIP. So a little push up, but 46 Ks over that stretch. So strikeouts have improved. Ratios have gone up a little as well, Ryan. When I look at the overall skill set, it seems like the same guy for the most part. But what do you see when you look at Reed Detmers? Because I think we know if you draft Reed Detmers, you're going to get strikeouts, and you just pray the ratios don't blow up.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, the walk rate's going to scare me with Reed Detmers. It's been a 10% walk rate over this last month. So that's been a big reason for the rise here. It's been accompanied by an excellent strikeout rate. So that has been part of the package with Reed Detmers, but just seems like so volatile. And then on top of that, he does play for the Angels. So it's 12 starts so far this season for Reed Detmers. He's got 2 wins. Like, I don't think that's going
not
to
gonna
change.
Get much better.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And Reed Detmers, the other thing is workload. He's already thrown more innings this season than he did all of last year, because he was a reliever last year. So that should be a shock to nobody. But what does a second half Reed Detmers look like? Those are my concerns with Reed Detmers. I think on a per inning basis, he's fine. The strikeouts could be really good. Are really good, honestly. The 46 Ks over the last month is really good, but there's a ton of risk with Reed Detmers going forward.
Yeah, hopefully they use an opener of some sort with him to limit the innings. That's what I would go with.
That would help.
Because knowing the Angels system, they have no pitching right now. It's bad, just really bad. Caden Dana, they're hoping to figure it out. It's a lot of lost holes in Anaheim right now, and I could probably see some guys. Detmers might get traded for all we know. Like, that's on the table as well. So you never know with Anaheim. Really curious your thoughts here, because Foster Griffin, the first month of the year, 2.67 ERA, 1.07 WHIP with 30 Ks and 33 and two thirds. And I kept looking at the skills and I'm like, how is this happening? Well, the past month, he has a 4.86 ERA, a 1.23 WHIP with 35 Ks and 33 innings. So again, like Detmers, strikeouts have gone up a little bit, but by oh my, the ratios have followed in a major way of late. One of them was 9 runs in Great American Small Park, so I'll preface that now, but still some very rough starts. What are you seeing when you look at Foster Griffin?
Yeah, he had the rough start there, and honestly, I mean, he's a big faller because the first month was just so good. Like, to be honest, a 4.86 ERA, 1.23 WHIP with 3 wins over a month, that's not like, I mean, it's not good, but it's not killing you. So, and then you look at the skills, Foster the Griffin, as I like to call him, again, K-minus walk. I'm always going to look at that. It's over 20%. It's been really good. Throws strikes, misses bats. I don't know where this is coming from. Like, the track record for me is just extremely fragile. What's that?
It's the home runs. You look at the last month in home runs, like, he almost doubled his first month.
It's a ball. But even that, like, it's a 27% homer to fly. No, I mean, that doesn't stick around for very long. So, the more I look into Foster the Griffin, I'm kind of encouraged. And at least from what we've seen this season from him, again, the track record's awful. He's 30 years old. So, like, there's definitely some blow up risk here, but least right now, he's pitching pretty well and honestly hasn't even been that bad over the last month.
Not that bad. That's a ringing endorsement. The only one thing I will mention, though, is Washington Nationals ballpark during the summertime, that ball flies out of there. So if he's having home run trouble now, just keep that on your radar. That's all I would say. Okay, this one's for you. This is for our good buddy, Corbin, Mitch Keller. Mitch Keller, who Ben Tidd dropped this past week in his main event. Mitch Keller had a 3.18 ERA, a 1.15 whip, 25 Ks in 34 innings in the first month. This past month, in 34 innings pitched, 5.50 ERA, 1.19 whip, 26 strikeouts. It got rough is the best way I'll put it for Mitch Keller. 7 runs against the Twins of all teams, 4 against the Cardinals, 6 against the Road Rockies. Like, these are matchups that you need to take advantage of, and he has not taken advantage of it, Ryan. I think, you know, you're going to get your good runs and your bad runs out of Mitch Keller, but all in all, I don't know. I think he's better than this past month, but he's probably not a whole lot better than this past month.
Yeah, like, dude, it's Mitch Keller. Come on. Literally, this guy, like, we know, all right, this guy's ERA. Mitch Keller, ERA, the last 4 seasons. Check how, like, close these are. Like 4.21, 4.25, 4.19, and now 4.35. Like, this is who Mitch Keller is. And you're getting
the Chris Davis of pitching.
He's the Chris Davis of pitching, Mr. 247. This is just who you're going to get. You're going to get a lot of it, for better or worse. Like, mediocre ratios, a lot of innings of mediocre ratios is like, eh. The nice thing for Mitch Keller in his corner this season is the Pirates actually have a pulse and somewhat of a bullpen. Has 5 wins this season. Only had, he was 6-15 last year. Good hell. Already has 5 wins this year. So you like that, but it's Mitch Keller, man. This is what he does.
It is what he does indeed. Really curious your thoughts on Mr. George Kirby, who in the first month of the year, an ERA of 3.113 whip at 34 Ks and 45 innings. The past month, 4.97 ERA, 1.34 whip. This is the whip king. Not so much. 25 Ks and 29 innings. I looked at his last 3 starts for the matchups article I'm writing for Wednesday, so I have a rough idea on my thoughts on George Kirby. But this is one of your guys, a guy you've been invested in the last few years. What are your thoughts? What you've seen with George Kirby over the past month versus the first month?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with what I've seen with Kirby is like he this isn't like the vintage control command that we had from Kirby, which is an admitted, like, and I'm talking about like from 2-3 years ago, Kirby, which is admittedly like an impossible bar to hold. In 2023 and 24, Kirby had a 2% walk rate. Like, nobody does that. And yes, you can be a very good control pitcher, but it's just so hard to have a 2% walk rate. And that's ultimately what drove Kirby, who's always had, you know, below average K rates outside of last season. You know, that's up to 5% this year, the walk rate, which is still really good, but it's like human now. And you've got that. The Ks have fallen down this year. The whiffs haven't been there as much. I think George Kirby's still good. I don't think he's an SP 1-2 that he was being drafted as. Maybe SP 2.
Yeah. And what I'll say when I was looking at like his month-to-month numbers, yeah, the ratios are obviously different, like we talked about on the show tonight. But like you like to talk your K to walk, your ball percentages and all that. It's pretty much been in line with what we've seen each month. It's not like he had massive outliers when it comes to that. So to your point, is this is just probably who he is now, is this guy that's gonna have his good and have his bad, but he's not gonna be like Mitch Keller. He's gonna be better than that, like an SP3, to your point.
Yeah.
All right, Seth Lugo, 2.63 ERA, 1.17 whip on the first month of the year, and we're all like, wow, is he gonna do this again? Like, what is going on here? Well, this past month, Seth Lugo has a 4.59 ERA, a 1.56 whip. Talk about blowing things up, Ryan. Like, that is beyond bad. Not to mention the Royals aren't good at baseball right now. So they're not scoring runs for a guy giving up that kind of run damage. What's your thoughts on Seth Lugo, who it's been brutal? And the walk's been brutal most of the season, but the last few starts have been extremely bad in the run department.
Yes, and I don't know, man. Seth Lugo, like, in a complete inability to miss bats, is just almost for me an instant, you know, just a non-starter. I don't think Seth Lugo is good.
I don't think he's that good, but it is interesting when I was looking, like, the strikeouts have kind of been there most of the year, which is crazy.
Yeah,
the swinging strike isn't there, but he still has a 20% K rate, which is good. It's just the walks, like, it turns into a 12% K to walk, which is not great. Like, his last week he had a 23% K to walk, which is awesome, but, you know, it's 10% this last month, 12% on the year. Like, that's just not going to cut it at all. But yeah, it's a weird profile. Too many walks for not enough strikeouts, I guess, would be the answer for me.
Next few starts for Lugo at Minnesota. Probably throw that, I guess. Versus Texas, at Washington, versus St. Louis.
Like, three of those four are not bad. That's the problem, especially in a 15-teamer. Like, that's three out of the four is not bad there.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, I think I'm going to step away for a minute, but I'm going to leave this one for you because it wasn't one start. It wasn't really two starts. No. It's been a few starts now for Shota Imanaga, your boy. First month of the year looked like the Cy Young Award winner, potentially. Ryan was, like, victory lapping his most rostered player.
I was not. Life is great. I was not.
The Discord says otherwise. 2.88 ERA, 0.87 whip from the whip master himself, which we mentioned over and over again in draft season. The whip machine. He was doing it. 38 Ks even and 34 and a third. So the strikeouts were up. Everything's looking great. The last month, a 5.8 ERA, 1.26 whip, 31 Ks in 35 innings. To elaborate just a tad bit further, the last three starts, Shota has allowed 20 earned runs. Over 15 and two-thirds innings pitched.
And eight homers.
10 Ks, and 5 walks. So it's not like he's dominating things. What are you seeing with your boy? Because my oh my, it has escalated very quickly.
It has, Bubba. I would like to see some of my victory lap posts. I've been playing this game far too long to victory lap in
stop
early
deflecting.
May. Early May. Jesus. Yeah, it's the homers. I mean, that's always what it is with Shota.
Yeah.
Good Shota doesn't allow homers. Bad Shota allows homers. And you're going to have some really good stretches. You're going to have some really rough stretches. On the season, you still have a 107 whip. For Shota, like, the whip's been pretty good. ERA 4.37, a little higher than you want given the last three starts, but this is kind of more or less what you expected from Shota in the aggregate. And so I don't think anything is wrong with Shota. I just think it's been three bad starts of home runs. So he's given up, yeah, it's been three homers, two homers in his last three starts across Shota's first, if I can do some basic math here. Across Shota's first nine starts, he did not have a single game where he gave up more than one home run. So it's all the home run ball. That's going to come and go. That's the issue with getting these fly ball guys who don't strike out a ton. You're going to have some good games when the fly balls don't end up over the seats. You're going to have some rough ones when they do.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. Shota still looks really good for most of his starts, and the balls just leave on the yard. You're like, oh, God, here we go again. So I'm with you. You keep rolling with them.
Next four starts for Shota. At home against the A's, at Coors, at your Giants, and at the Mets. That's according to the starting pitcher planner, that is a top three schedule over the next 3 weeks of any pitcher in baseball.
All right. We ride with Shota Imanaga. All right. Another guy that was lighting the world on fire in the first month of the year, Jose Soriano. 0.84 ERA, 0.94 whip, 49 Ks and 42 and two-thirds. And more importantly, five wins on the Angels in the first month of the season. The second month, we back, baby. He's made 33 innings pitched, 5.13 ERA, 1.56 whip. Still 36 Ks, though. It's what we expect. As you point to your Wild Thing t-shirt, it sums it up beautifully, but I guess I'll say to your Shota point, it's still a 2.72 ERA and a 1.21 whip on the season, which we would take with glowing stars with Soriano. But the last month has been a lot more of the Soriano we don't like, and that has been a big problem.
Yeah, that's been a big problem. We I think we talked Soriano some last week, and that was before his seven walk performance against the Road Rock. Road Rock is doing some things.
I think there was two hit by pitches in that game too. There were
two hit by pitches.
The whole thing.
So like that concerns me, right? Basically nine walks coming off a four walk start at Detroit. Two starts before that was six walks against the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Is something wrong with Jose Soriano when the command is, when the control is that bad? Like that's really bad. And I don't know, like a ground ball, an elite ground ball rate can cure a lot of ills, but it can't cure ills of you giving up nine base runners.
Yeah, they got to put the ball in play to make ground balls first.
Jose Soriano's next start is at LA, the Oof. Dodgers.
Oof.
That's tricky. That's very tricky.
Yeah, the once auto start might not be an auto start. I'm not dropping him by any means, but
no.
You might have to pick your battles now compared to what we were doing a few weeks back.
Yeah, I may, you know, if you have better options, certainly in a 12, I may sit Jose Soriano against the Dodgers and just kind of see what the walk total looks like in that one.
Let me just tip your toe in the water and see how things are going on that one. All right, Nolan McLain, my oh my, 2.55 ERA, 0.85 whip to start the season with 45 Ks and 35 and a third. Dude looked like he was unhittable, just like nothing was going to go wrong in that situation. But things have changed in the past month. A 6.10 ERA, a 1.42 whip with 32 Ks and 31 innings pitched. He gave up seven runs against the Reds in New York, not in Great American. Nine runs, six earned at Washington. But other than that, it's been three earned runs or less in 10 other starts. So it's two just absolute blowups. And his last start, he had five walks against the Marlins. But basically, you take out this last stretch, he's still been very, very good. But I wouldn't say I'm not concerned. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and taking the longer view with McLain, like, I mean, we had our battles debating Nolan McLain. Martin Sokolsky, when we were doing our rankings for the Patreon, I was way low on McLain. You guys kind of talked me into moving him up a little bit, as I probably should have. I believed in that. I really liked the 60% ground ball rate. Like, that's Jose Soriano type stuff. Given that all back this year, has not been a ground ball guy. So a major jump in fly balls, and the control hasn't really gotten any better. It's below average control. And then the last piece of this puzzle is, I know it's kind of a point of debate, but like, Nolan McLain doesn't miss many bats. Is he someone who can still get a good strikeout rate without missing many bats? I don't know, but you look at mediocre control, doesn't have a great ground ball rate anymore. And his swinging strikes under 10%. Like, that's actually kind of bad. I'm worried, man. I'm a little worried.
Yeah, when I've watched him like take the mound his last few starts, and he's not dominating like he was before. When he used to go out there, like, oh, there's nothing. They're not going to touch him. And now it's just like, you're just hoping he gets through some innings at this point in time.
It's just weird because he was so good. And like the first month, it was just like, wow. Like, we was up there with, I was talking about like Mizorowski, Schlittler, and Chase Burns. Like, McLain was one of those dudes a month ago.
So. He was right there and was the man, and now he's hanging on for dear life. Speaking of hanging on for dear life, many people wondered if they should even start Sandy Alcantara this week, and I'm still thinking, I don't know, this might not help your cause. 3.04 ERA, 1.16 whip in the first month of the season, 31 Ks and 47 in the third. So eating innings, most innings pitched in the first month of the season on this board. Second month, 35 innings, 6.69 ERA, 1.49 whip, 26 strikeouts. So strikeouts are always an issue with Sandy. He needs to accumulate those, but you expect good ratios, especially whip with Sandy Alcantara. That has not been the case. The Braves got to him, which you'd expect, but Baltimore got to him. The Jays of all teams got to him. It hasn't been a friendly schedule, but at the same time, Sandy looks a little beaten up at the moment.
Looks a little beaten up. I like that. The underlying skills don't look that bad. Like, the walk rate's been really good. The velocity's still there. He hasn't missed many bats, but Sandy doesn't miss bats. Like, that's not his
problem.
That's not his game. And that is agreed. I mean, that is part of the overall problem with Sandy, especially in this post TJ world. So I don't think Sandy is cooked by any means. As usual, I think the truth is somewhere in between with these 2 months. I think Sandy's like a low fours ERA type guy with a whip that probably still hurts just because he gives up so much contact despite the good walk rate.
Reed Detmers or Sandy Alcantara?
I would go, that's a good one. I would go Reed Detmers, I think. You've at least got a ceiling there.
And you got the strikeouts with Detmers. Like, that's a, what about Andrew Abbott?
Abbott or Sandy? Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. Jump out of a window, I think.
Yeah, I'd rather start a guy on the IL. But yeah, that's just the world we live in right now, unfortunately. So, and here's the last one. Man, oh man, I've witnessed this one. Robbie Ray. No. My boy needs to find a pair of pants to fit. Maybe he won't be throwing so bad. 2.70 ERA, 1.14 WHIP in the last month. 6.44 ERA, 1.70 WHIP. Dude had 7 walks against the White Sox over 4 innings. 2 starts.
He got a win. How did he get a win?
That was back when he actually had a good start against Pittsburgh. But his last 4 starts, he hasn't even gone 5 innings in those 4 starts. He has more walks than strikeouts in those 4 starts. He allowed 9 runs in Arizona over those 4 starts. I have zero faith in anything Robbie Ray does at the moment. Like, I think he's hurt because he can't throw a strike to save his life.
Yeah, and the control's never really been there. It's Robbie Ray, for Christ's sake. And now
this is pre-Blue Jays Robbie Ray, where we never knew if he was going to throw a strike, and they went to Toronto and figured it out. It's gone again.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you've seen him a lot more than I do, so than I have. So I'll go with your gut on this one. It looks, and on top of it all, it's another heavy fly ball rate, which can work in San Francisco, but that many walks, that many fly balls, just a recipe for disaster.
Like, he used to have strikeout upside. He's gotten 7 Ks in four starts. That's his high. He's got like at least 2 walks in almost every start. It's the home runs are all over the place. He's given up 13 home runs in his 62 in his 12 starts. It's brutal, man. It's almost a 2 home run per 9 right now for Robbie Ray. I don't see any silver lining in this one right now. I hope I'm wrong, but they're going to keep throwing him because we don't have any options. So
right, yeah, like what else are you going to do?
Good God. I'm telling you, like, people that know me, they send me things. They're like, when the lineup came out today, our buddy Santu sends me the lineup and then the YouTube thing from Major League, who the F are these guys? And I'm like,
yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. Like, it's embarrassing. It's for a team that used to be so good and has the money to put that on the field, it's rough. It's very rough.
I really hope the next game you go to is not a Robbie Ray game. Are your games already predetermined? Your Giants?
I already have games. I have like 4 more games already purchased. We bought them all on sale. But
have you bought the date?
Oh yeah, no, I already have the game. Oh, okay. I can schedule it out and see what my starts are. But yeah, I was really pumped for my last one, Davis Martin versus Trevor McDonald, and then people on Twitter saw how that went. That was the worst.
9-0.
That was the worst. I literally got up to go get my daughter garlic fries, and I came back and the White Sox were still. It was only 7-0 at that point. It was horrible.
Did you guys stay the whole time? Or did you guys bail?
We left like after the 6th inning.
Yeah,
got on the train and headed home.
That's tough for your daughter.
Yeah, she was not having it. She usually loves the games, but that was just the attitude in that ballpark was the guys just didn't care. It was a tough watch.
This might be the better year to shift her more towards softball, college softball.
Yeah, she was watching college softball with me last night, loving it. And so we might be watching the championship game tomorrow night together. And good God, that was so bad. That was so, so bad. All right, final thoughts on the Bloom Board before we hit up some listener questions.
Hopefully. I feel like for pitchers, at least I'm a lot more in tune with recent performance because, like, a bad pitching outing you definitely know about, where, like, if a hitter doesn't do anything for you for a week, it can kind of fly under the radar. But, there's no flying under the radar if you're Nolan McLean or Robbie Ray. So, to me, not as, like, surprising some of these names as opposed to last week's hitters, just because you track your pitchers more and you notice them more.
And what's exciting for me, I guess exciting might not be the right word, but I'm excited to see for me, is I made my outline for Thursday's Bench with Bubba show, and about halfway these names are on that outline. So
nice. Nice.
This will play well for a deeper conversation on Thursday afternoon as well. Surprise guest, everybody. I'll stay tuned for that one. But all right, let's get some listener questions here. We'll start with the YouTube chat here. Pat Monahan says, speaking of holding players outside of dynasty leagues, is holding DeVries and or Mate egregious? Short-term keeper league promotion year 0-20-12. I have no idea what that means. I don't know how to answer that question.
Yeah, I'm just not sure the rules there. DeVries could be up in September. I don't think holding them is egregious, even in a short term. I mean, they're 1-2 in James Anderson's
They're both
prospect rings on RotoWire. So Mate, I don't think is up this year. DeVries maybe gets a September call. But the issue is like there isn't much there. So I would expect DeVries' impact for next season to be potentially awesome. So depending on that promotion schedule, that could work for DeVries. Mate still feels a little bit further away.
Agreed. And DeVries, the problem with him is I think he's ready, but there's nowhere for him to play right now.
Currently, so, correct.
Yeah, they have to move. Agreed. They have to move pieces around. Pat's got another question though. McLean, is he keepable the next 2 years at $10 and $12 for unkeepable Skeens? Like he has to drop Skeens. Like, would you rather have McLean for 2 years instead of Skeens that you have to drop after this year?
Skeens this year.
Yeah, play to anything. Win. Play to win.
Yeah,
that's what I always do.
And McLean, McLean at $10 and $12, probably. I feel like that's marginal type price given how McLean has looked for me.
Yep. All right. From the Discord here, we have an unsolicited comment from Ross Hawk. Despite being on the ratio followers list, Detmers has more May June K's than anyone on this list except the Miz. Question: if you had to drop one player on the followers list, not named Mitch Keller, who would it be?
If I had to drop one player on the fallers, I could drop a lot of them.
Start at the bottom two, pick one of them.
Yeah, Robbie Ray and Sandy are the easy drops. I think Soriano would be fine. I think Shota would be fine. Lugo, I think, could be a drop. Again, depending alternatives and that sort of thing. But outside of those, I'd want to keep the other ones. I'd want to keep Detmers around. I'd want to foster the Griffin for a little bit more. Kirby's obviously not a drop. Shota's not a drop. So,
agreed. SMMS, the 79 is silent. Kirby's whip stands out in a really bad way for a guy we were once drafting for control and whip stability. Is it just a small sample size or are those days never coming back?
It's hard to say they're never coming back, but I don't think we're going to get vintage 2% walk rate Kirby again. So probably that version of Kirby is no longer, but I think both things can be true. He's got a 3.77 ERA, 1.22 WHIP, 5 wins, like pitched for a good team. He's a fine SP3, I think.
Yep, agreed. To piggyback on this, our buddy Martin Sikulski says, can we talk about George Kirby? The big thing with him early in the career was elite command, but he doesn't strike guys out. The last 2 years, he's getting K's with a higher walk rate and WHIP. Now he's doing neither. What gives? You kind of hit on that already, but just wanted to give Martin his shout out there. The Moose says, somehow you got to squeeze Kyle Harrison talking to this pod. Bubba's got to have a take after his beatdown of the Gigantes tonight. You already asked that earlier.
So, yeah. I already tried to poke that bear, but
I'm already so beaten down with the Giants. It takes a lot for me to get pissed off. I got pissy really early in the year, but now I've just kind of accepted the fact that, I was shocked when it was 4-3 late in the game. I'm like, wow. Look at that. They brought Eldridge and Lee off the bench. They both got pinch hit singles and almost got them tied up. But yeah. Alex GH says, with the hard contact Soroka allows, is he someone to just totally avoid due to the potential for huge blow up starts? He has had one so far, or just start him in 15s?
Yeah, I think Soroka is absolutely continue to roll with him in 15s. I don't think the skills are that bad. And shout out Alex, just joined the Discord this week, and he's already fitting in like a seasoned pro.
Yes, he is quite active, which is beautiful to see. But yeah, you pretty much start Soroka, it's like 80% of the time. I know you mentioned a start coming up, maybe in Washington, maybe you avoid that. But there's like the other three starts out of the four, you're rolling, especially in 15s.
Yeah, at Cincinnati versus Minnesota. Cincinnati's nothing special this year, so most of the time you're rolling with Soroka.
SMMS 79 says, have you ever made a bloom board with an output in the ERA category showing it as 0.00, referencing Chris Sanchez tonight?
I have not, and it bugs me to no end that I format wise for both Sanchez and Mizorowski, for those of you watching, it's not a 0.0 or a 0.2, it's just 0.2. That freaks me out, but I didn't have time to adjust that today. I know, I'm weird.
No, I get it. I get annoyed.
Doesn't that annoy you? At point it, 2-3?
I can see how it would annoy you, especially, but like, I know when I do little Excel things or whatever, and I don't even have formatting in mind, but I'll type in a number and I want it to say like 1 point, or I want to say like 1.2, and it says like 1.20. Like, I don't want this.
Yeah.
Like stuff like that. Like, I don't want that. Like, take it away. I don't know how to fix that, but please stop. So yeah, I get it.
I could help you, Bubba.
But. Yeah, it's probably pretty simple, I'm guessing, but I have no idea. So we move on. Ben Ted says, where did Mizorowski's walks go? Is he a one-off in the sense that minor league walk rates can't be ignored? He was consistently around a 14% walk rate and is at 7% this season. Yeah. You kind of hit on that earlier.
Yeah, I kind of hit on that earlier, Nick. Yeah, so it was Ben who asked that. I don't know. You don't want to overreact based on 2 months, but I think for me, yes, there's kind of a loose relationship between walk rate in the minors and walk rate in the majors. So that's one thing. But also, I mean, Mizorowski did throw a ton of strikes last year. And I like I said earlier in the show, I kind of missed that. The ball rate was still really good for Mizorowski throwing strikes in the big leagues. So could be a little bit of both. Could be complete, you know, Mizorowski could spike a 12% walk rate next month. I mean, that's just variance. That's how things go in this game.
For sure. Our buddy Corbin Young, finally a Mitch Keller appears on a board. Yeah, that is correct. And it's not on the good side. And then Ben Tidd shows him that he dropped Mitch Keller for Gage Jump. That's why Ben Tidd is always in the running for the overall championship. Adam W. Yeah. says, Eovaldi got in just before he threw BP tonight. Yes, that happens.
Four runs, Adam. Not bad. Hey, by my standards,
yeah,
that's not throwing baseball. BP. Yeah.
Definitely is. Pat Monahan, announcing daughter's chat. I'll be taking my daughter to her 8th, 9th, and 10th ballpark before she turns 7 this summer, but it'll start slowing down now. Maybe one or two per year. You guys have any must visit? You are lucky. I wish summer's my busiest time of the year for work, so I can never do that, but I would love to do that. I've taken her to Anaheim and San Francisco so far. I'd love to go take her to more ballparks, but I've only been to, like, Wrigley's the only really big one. I haven't got to travel that much because of my work. So you've seen more ballparks than I have.
And I haven't really. I've only taken my kids to Safeco. They've gone twice. We are talking. I'd love to do it again. So being in Oregon, like, I can't just go to ballparks. Like, we're pretty
people
isolated.
Like in the Northeast can go like 3 hours to like
yeah
ballparks. Like, it feels like
It's an issue. But I do want to do. We did this a long time ago, but just a California road trip and just hit all the teams on the. Kind of the I-5 corridor. You can get the two LA teams, you get San Diego, you can go up see your boys. Can't see Oakland anymore, but that's what I'd like to do with my kids. Again, my older brother's down in Southern California, so we could probably make that work and hit, you know, three games in Southern California if the schedule works. And that would be my next move. It's a little tough taking the kids to the Midwest for a trip for me.
Yes. A little tough to justify unless they're really interested in it at this point in time, but I'd love to. I'd really love to. I'd love to go back to Wrigley. I still want to see Pittsburgh. We talked about that in the Discord the other day. That'd be one I'd like to go check out. And obviously I'm down to watch baseball anywhere. I've probably been to like 6 or 7 stadiums in my time, but with my daughter, just 2. So, all right, we'll wrap it up there. Good question, Pat. I like a little non-fantasy related conversation there. Any final thoughts before we wrap things up? And we'll be back Thursday with Week 12 Fab, Ryan.
We will. I don't think I have any final thoughts. I don't know. Brains kind of toast for a Tuesday night.
That's probably accurate. It happens. It happens. A lot of number crunching for you. And go get some rest because I'm going to have some players for you to think about on Thursday. That's for sure. With all the injuries taking place. A lot of guys coming off the IL, it looks like, in the next coming days, weeks. So we got some positive news around the diamond. But we'll get you caught up on that and much, much more. But until then, check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Intrick, and this was Bubba in the Bloom, episode 352. Catch you all next time.